Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front, but they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Utah, give me two.
Utah, give me two.
Utah, give me two.
Hello and welcome everyone to a Palazzo Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Two L's, two Z's. I'm Britton Allen. I'm here today with my friend and man of mystery himself, Mike VA, a.k.a. Mike Virginia. What's up, Mike? Michael Govea could not be here today, but he sends his love. He will be back next week. But today we have a very special guest host. We are excited, thrilled, and honored to have the co-host of the most popular fantasy baseball podcast in the world. Fantasy Baseball Today, presented by CBS. Our guest host today co-stars with Frank Stanfill and Scott White. And when I say co-star, I mean stars, because that's what you call people on TV with their own TV shows. That's right. Fantasy Baseball Today by CBS Sports is now on television, on your flat screen, or on your app. You can watch these three gentlemen on CBS Sports Net, and you can also watch them on CBS Sports app. You know, the apps are where it's at. That's all the kids say. I don't know any kids that say that, but I bet there's some out there somewhere. And of course, when someone reaches this level of superstardom, as our guest host has, it's only natural that level of success and celebrity and fame, sometimes it goes to their heads. And unfortunately, I have to report that our guest today made the most outrageous demands to come on the show. Dare I say, Mariah Carey diva demands, including making me agree to wash his car every week for the rest of my life. Of course, I'm kidding.
It's a good deal for you, actually. I don't even have a car.
Our guest host is literally one of the coolest and nicest guys in the fantasy baseball industry. And we are thrilled and tickled pink that he's here today. It's Chris Towers from CBS Sports. What's up, Chris?
Thank you so much for the lovely introduction. Way over the top and totally unnecessary. You're really setting me up to fail.
I was thinking, is that too much? And then I was like, it's never too much.
Yeah, I prefer keeping expectations low. You know, like that's my sweet spot, is like under promise and over deliver. That's the way I like to look at it.
That was my motto when I was single. I keep my expectations low and my standards high. Or maybe was it, I keep my standards low and my yeah, that sounds more right. Yeah, I kept my standards low and my expectations high. But guys, we're here. Mike, I can see the smile coming through the screen because I watched what happened with your Baltimore Orioles yesterday. I was personally invested financially because Tennessee allows sports wagering. But tell me, man, how you feeling? Damn, they look good.
Yeah, I was pumped. Corbin Burns shoved it up their rear ends. And now, obviously, the Angels aren't the stiffest of competitions these days. But I was really, really hyped to see not just the pitching obviously pitch well, but obviously everybody from top to bottom I felt like hit. So it was fun. I wish I got to go to that. That was obviously a great opening day for us. And hopefully we can bust out the brooms and knock out the Angels this weekend, and we'll go from there. But Chris, I've been a fan of CBS and you guys, your show between you, Frank, and Scott, and who is your team? Who's your go to? You're a Marlins fan?
I'm a Marlins fan. Yeah, that's right. Sugar Kings hat on, and
there you go.
You know, it's been fine. You know, they've had two good seasons.
Did they win yesterday, Chris?
They lost a very exciting extra inning game between the Pirates and them. It was fine. My expectation, like, I'm the kind of fan where, like, I've been, like, excited about regular season baseball maybe, like, 12 times in my whole life. Because there's too many games, you know? You can't be riding with the team when the regular season, like opening day, I want to see them win. I'm excited if they do. There's another game tonight. It's fine.
Yeah.
This is one of the best things about baseball. Today, tomorrow's a new day.
Exactly.
And I saw that. What I like about the Marlins is my Jake Berger picking up right where he left off last season, went 3-for-4, hitting the ball hard, looking at good. I don't know how old you are, Chris, but do you remember a game back in the day called Burger Time?
Do not remember Burger Time, no.
It was literally like you would put toppings on a burger, and that was the whole game. I don't know. Yeah, from 1986 reference coming at you from a...
Yeah, that's a few years before my time and maybe a decade before my consciousness, so yeah.
I hear you. But Jake Berger looks good. So we've got the O's looking good. We've got Jake Berger looking good. The Marlins coming around. Chris, you don't know this, but you do have the world's biggest and founder of the Yuri Perez fan club on this actual podcast.
When we found out that he had an elbow injury, I think that happened on a Friday, right? And we don't record the FBT podcast again until Sunday. We record on Thursday night, found out about the injury on Friday. And I guess I had processed it. I knew it happened. I even moved him down in my rankings. But then we got to Sunday night and Frank asked me like my thoughts. And I just like the weight of the world came crashing down on me in that moment. And I was just like, oh God, I hadn't really considered what it meant that Yuri Perez had an elbow injury. So the fact that he is apparently okay was one of the great joys of my spring. It was a bit of a roller coaster, but I'm hopeful that we can get some Yuri Perez back in our lives, maybe as early as April.
Did you have any drafts where you bought the dip on Yuri Perez? Because I feel like in a couple of the leagues that I drafted in late, he was sliding down draft boards pretty deep. Did you have any cases of that?
I don't think I ended up drafting him. I might not have drafted him at all, really. Same. Because I was looking at my most drafted players and specifically the players that I didn't draft. And it was like, every pitcher between like 5 and 20 in the rankings. I think I just didn't draft at all this year. Just the way I go is I either get an ace, sometimes two, or I wait a long time. And so Yuri Perez, just, I don't have Grayson Rodriguez. I don't think I have Bobby Miller. And there's definitely going to be some FOMO at points with all those guys. So, yeah, hopefully I have a lot of FOMO with not having Yuri Perez on any of my teams. Exactly. That's my hope. I hope I made a big mistake in not drafting him.
Mike V, you know, typically there are seven stages of grief that you have to go through. Mike V went through 47 stages of Yuri Perez elbow discomfort grief, but it's okay. We made it through the other side. So let's talk a little bit about some opening day news. One of my favorite players, Mr. Garrett Crochet, is really good. And he is available on waiver wires on your 12-team leagues. What do you think, Mike V? Is Garrett? Did you watch any of the Garrett Crochet show there in the Chicago White Sox?
I did a little bit. I was watching, obviously, more of my O's more so than anything. But I was intrigued. I actually had him in a couple of I'm in five leagues, and I had him in two of them. And scooped him up late in another league. So I was happy with the results. Mind you, he was facing obviously the Tigers, which aren't the best of teams, especially hitting wise. But I liked what I saw. I mean, here's the thing too, like innings wise, like how many innings are we going to get out of him? Chris, I listened to y'all show earlier this morning actually, and I believe one of you guys brought up he hasn't thrown an actual start since college. I think it was in college, that was only one start to that. So
at the University of Tennessee,
had to get that in.
Yeah, so he started one game in 2020. You remember 2020 was a weird season where they might just have only played like a partial schedule, and then he got drafted. Right. He hadn't started a game since the 2020 season, except in spring training when he looked really good. And even in college, he wasn't a full-time starter. So you know, right. You look back and it's like he hasn't thrown more than 65 innings in a season since 2019. So there are real innings concerns. And I would imagine at some point the White Sox are going to have to pull back on Garrett Crochet. But look, he threw 87 pitches, went six innings in his first start. The cutter and the changeup were kind of just show me pitches for the most part as he went on. I think his first like 40 pitches or something were just fastballs and sliders before he started working, but like looked like a real starter's repertoire if the changeup and cutter can be even 10% usage pitches. And yeah, I was super impressed by him. And when you're talking about, you know, whether you should add him, I think obviously in any league where Garrett Crochet is available, the chances are that it doesn't work out and he just can't be a full-time starter. I think that's the likeliest outcome.
Yeah.
But anyone who shows that kind of upside, I think you have to add just in case he figures it out. And it's, you know, I'd put him behind AJ Puck, who had a very, very good spring of his own. But like if AJ Puck goes out and has a bad first start, maybe Crochet's ahead of him. So you know, that range of starting pitcher is super fluid, super volatile, and Garrett Crochet has firmly put himself into needs to be rostered everywhere range.
Yeah, I think a definite streamer. He had six innings pitched, five hits, eight Ks. Mm-hmm. So he's getting whiffs, he's getting strikeouts, and my favorite part, zero walks.
Yeah.
0.0. You can't do better than that, Garrett Crochet for the White Sox. The problem is he also got zero run support, literally.
Yeah.
Zero runs scored by his team, and that's going to be just how it is with him. But
I imagine too that you know Tarek Skubal is going to be doing that to a lot of teams this year.
Yeah.
So there is the caveat of that, but you know, obviously the White Sox got some good hitters. I wouldn't say that they're top to bottom bad. I mean, still got Lou Bob in there. But again, you're right. The run support there for Crochet is not, I don't think gonna be there. But at the same time too, I'm with Chris and you, Britton. I think he has to be almost universally owned at this point, just in case he is maybe, dare I say, this year's Cole Reagans.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, that's the vibe certainly that I got from watching him is it could be that kind of turnaround where we've always known the stuff was really good. There's a reason he went in the first round and made it to the majors very quickly, despite only starting what 13 games in college or whatever it was. So the White Sox have always really liked him. The stuff has looked good. It played up as a starter. The velocity was up about a mile and a half per hour yesterday as well. He's got this like kind of funky delivery where it almost looks like he like kind of stumbles while he's delivering the ball, but he's so big that he gets really great extension with his fastball. I think there's just a lot to like with the skill set. And like, who cares about the downside, right? Like I dropped, you know, 7% of my FAB budget on Luis Gil, who I'm not confident is going to be good in certain leagues. So like, yeah, go add Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, you gotta squeeze what you get out of him. And when his arm falls off, you go pick up the next guy. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of breaking news. It looks like Uribe right now as we're recording, the Mets and the Brewers are wrapping it up. Looks like Uribe got the save, guys.
Yep.
So I think you were we call them Pampers, but Joel Piamps, I think, was a favorite of yours, Chris. What do you think?
When Devin Williams first got hurt, my initial reaction was, okay, Yoel Piamps is going to be the guy. And then I was surprised to see how many people didn't expect that to be the case. I kind of assumed that was a pretty obvious call. And so I kind of backed off on him. The Brewers gave no hints in spring training. There were like zero public comments about who was going to be the closer. And so I backed off to the point where it was like, I thought Piamps was like 50-50 to be the closer. And then I thought Uribe was probably 40% and then a little bit of Trevor McGill. And it turns out that at least based on one game, it was McGill in the seventh, Piamps in the eighth, and Abner Uribe in the ninth. And the thing about all three of those guys was if any of them got the first chance to be the closer, I think they're all good enough to hold on to the job until Devin Williams is back. Abner Uribe got the first opportunity, so I think we can assume he's going to be the closer moving forward. It's not guaranteed, right? But he's the leader in the clubhouse after one game.
Yeah, and I think that's where it comes into play here too. And maybe a good segue with Jake Foley, because you know a lot of people are freaking out over their Alex Lang shares, and mm-hmm. you know Jake Foley's the guy. Maybe we move on from him. I still think this is going to be a fluid bullpen, and they're going to play the matchups because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think McGill got the heart of the order in the seventh. If before we hopped on, I believe I saw that. But
that sounds right because Uribe, I think, was facing like 8-9-1 or something. Yeah. So, yeah.
So if the heart of the order is up in the ninth, you know, do they trust Uribe to go 2-3-4, 3-4-5, or do they maybe lean Piamps or McGill? Mm-hmm. I personally think it's going to be more of a fluid situation as the season progresses, and maybe somebody runs away with it. It very well could be Uribe, but I still like McGill slightly just because of where he pitched at in that lineup. But
yeah, it was Lindor, Alonso, McNeil, Marte is who McGill faced in the seventh, and Piamps got the end of the order, and then it was 9-1-2 for Uribe. So he did face Nimmo and Lindor at the end and got them both out.
Right.
Hey, but, speaking of closers, the Detroit Tigers in the ninth inning called out Jason Foley, not Alex Lang, to come and close the game out for him with that one run lead we were talking about. Man, he's throwing 100-mile-an-hour sinkers, Mike V. What do you think? I mean, he's the closer now, right? He looks too darn good. They can't take him out of there, can they, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not getting rid of Alex Lang quite yet after one game. I think that's maybe a same situation as Milwaukee. I'd obviously like to see a couple more games before I'm ready to pull the plug. Chris, I thought you brought up a good point this morning when I was watching your show. Maybe this is like a Julian Merriweather type situation.
Oh, here. Yeah.
Where you know, he gets the first two saves and then Lang comes out and he holds the job. So I definitely think if you need saves, and again, if you play in a league that saves are scarce, I think it's worth a flyer to go out and get Jason Foley. But again, noting what the success Lang had last year, after one game, are we completely out on him, Chris? Like, what do you think the plan is moving forward is with Detroit?
Definitely not completely out. And I think it's worth noting that the usage there was noteworthy because it was Andrew Chafin who pitched the eighth inning for them. Mm-hmm. And they left him in for the first batter of the ninth. It was a lefty, Andrew Benintendi. And right. then they brought Jason Foley in. So I do wonder if, like, the explanation might just be as simple as they didn't want to bring Alex Lang in midway through an inning. And maybe Jason Foley has more experience serving as more of a fireman who has to get up quickly and pitch in the middle of an inning. It could just be something as simple as that, you know, because it Solid wasn't point. A typical save situation. It was one where he came in after one out. There were no runners on base. It wasn't like a fireman situation, but it was still not a, you know, normal, you got the beginning of the inning. So look, this is relief pitcher and closer discussions are probably my least favorite thing about fantasy baseball because it's hard enough to predict results and it's hard enough to try to quantify skill level. You also, when it comes to relievers, you have to do all that with tiny sample sizes, 60 inning sample sizes, 30 inning sample sizes for guys like Abner Uribe. Then you have to also try to get in the head of an entirely distinct person who doesn't necessarily make the decision about how to use them based on our perception, certainly, of who the best pitcher is. And so
right.
I always, it's tough. Like, I thought Piamps was the guy in Milwaukee. Now we have one game sample size where it's Abner Uribe. So I'll take the L on that so far. And I think, you know, with Detroit, I think Alex Lang is decent, but not so good that it's, like, shocking that the Tigers wouldn't use him as their go-to yeah. closer. So, yeah, I think anything could happen there. And now Foley's got the one save. And if you're desperate for saves and you're streaming and you're looking for those options, absolutely, I think he needs to be added. I'd probably go with Uribe ahead of him. I'd probably still, like, if Michael Kopech is available in your league, I'd probably go Michael Kopech ahead of him as well, even though he didn't get a save and worked, I think, the eighth inning with the White Sox down 1-0 yesterday. Yeah. So not sure he's going to be the closer, but I think the talent level is still what I'd chase this early on when we're talking about a one-game sample size. If Foley goes out and gets the save in the second game, then, yeah, I think it's clearly Foley. So you might just need to get ahead of it.
Then he's Julian Merriweather, then, to what we
brought up. I mean, sure, it could be. But yeah, I think the other thing you have to think about when you're talking about early season waivers is, like, I'm trying to think, there was something we were talking about on the podcast last night that was like Garrett Crochet versus some other pitcher, the Jack Flaherty, maybe someone else yeah. that we like based on spring. And it was like, well, who would you add? And it's like, well, I think it has to be Crochet just because the opportunity cost of
yeah.
he's definitely not going to be available in 2 days in most leagues. Like, you know, by Sunday's waiver wire, Garrett Crochet is definitely going to be rostered in basically every league. He's going to be one of the biggest waiver wire targets out there. Jack Flaherty may not be. And so even if I think Jack Flaherty has a similar talent level based on what we saw this spring and the increased velocity and stuff, you're definitely losing the potential that Garrett Crochet figures it out and becomes an impact starter. Right. If you pass over him right now. And so that's the other thing you have to keep in mind with early season waivers is it's similar to Victor Scott, right? He's got all this hype right now. He may not figure it out. There may be better projections players out there, but you have to go after, if you want that opportunity, you have to go after the hype guy when they're hyped, because you're not going to get the opportunity unless, you know, Victor Scott gets dropped, and then you might get the opportunity later.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's a good point, too, and I'm glad you brought that up with early season waivers. Is this, and a question that I get frequently, and I'm sure you guys all get it as well, is, you know, especially in the first couple of games, maybe the first week, and guys that you drafted, and I'm interested to hear both your all's take, and I'll start with you here, Britton, is when when is the time to pull the plug to add a guy like Garrett Crochet? And obviously you drafted these guys for a reason because you think they're going to be high impact players. Maybe these are guys that you drafted at the last two rounds or the later rounds of drafts. How do you know when to move on for anybody who's new to fantasy baseball? How do you know when to move on from a player to pick up a Garrett Crochet, a Jason Foley or something along those lines? Or is it just a, hey, I'm going to cut my worst player and I'm going to go grab him?
Yeah, I got that hair trigger on my computer when it comes to drop ad. And I'm always looking for the Cole Reagans like last year. Like you know, Crochet had 8 Ks, no walks. You go get him, you know. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, I guarantee you he's got a better shot at being relevant to your team than whoever you drafted with your last pick. There's no doubt about that. So yeah I'm like chomping at the bit, like Fab, one more dollar, give it to me. I'm getting Crochet, no doubt. What about you, Chris? What do you think?
That might be my weakest, but my biggest weakness as a fantasy player. I was actually shocked, like this week, the first run of Fab in all my leagues, I ended up getting like everyone I wanted. And that's usually the complete opposite. I'm usually not aggressive enough. And instead this week, like in TGFBI, I think my Michael Kopech bid was like $80 ahead of the runner up, which is usually the exact opposite for me, where I'm just not being. And so maybe I just like Michael Kopech too much, or maybe I'm learning, maybe I'm growing as a player and figure. But like I really struggled in my leagues where players weren't added on IL yet, and I had the IL spots. I was frozen. Because I have Max Scherzer in a couple leagues and I have Edward Cabrera in a couple leagues. And like, I don't want to drop those guys when I know I can put them on IL eventually, but I missed out on the Fab run. And so it's tough. I probably hold to my preseason expectations for players longer than most fantasy players and analysts. And I think it's a detriment sometimes. You know, it can lead me to being a little too slow to react to changes and to drop players who might need to be dropped and make the moves that need to be made. But there are also certainly a lot of times when it saved me from getting too out over my skis on some of the hyped waiver wire claims who end up, you know, flaming out. So it's worth remembering that, like, you remember last April who everyone was excited about on the pitching side? Chris Bubich.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
Chris,
he got hurt.
Chris with a K. Yeah.
Chris with a K, who looked awesome and had this big velocity jump and I think was one of the Tread Athletic guys and looked really good. And ultimately we didn't get to find out if we were right about hyping him because he got hurt. But like there are so many more ways for things to go wrong for a guy like Garrett Crochet than there are for him for things to go right.
Right.
That the likeliest outcome, like if you just want to be a curmudgeon and say, don't add Garrett Crochet, it's probably not going to work out. That's probably like you'll probably be right more often than not, but it's those times when you're wrong about it and you get a Tarek Skubal or a Cole Reagans who becomes a legitimate difference maker for effectively free. Those are the biggest difference makers for fantasy consistently.
Agreed. And we talk about it a lot. A term we use a lot on this show is, you know, lottery tickets, right? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, if these guys work out, you know, this is a guy that can return a hell of a lot more value than the guy you drafted in the last two rounds of your draft, right? Now, we all want these guys to work out, Victor Scott, Garrett Crochet, whomever the flavor of the week is or flavor of the day is after today. We all want these guys to work out. And if they do hit, right, you are basically got a guy for free, like you had mentioned, right? So, you know, for me, especially with pitchers, like Britton, I think you both actually made this point. You know, once they flame out, you can pivot and go pick up somebody else later on in the season. And it's basically going to cost you nothing. But if you can get five or six solid starts at a Garrett Crochet before they, you know, watch his innings or whatever it may be, that's a win in my book for a guy that you're probably never going to play unless you're, you know, on off days.
And I think, you know, we look at like even a 12th round pick. You know, 140th if you play in a 12-team league or 170th if you play in a 15-team league. And we think, like, that's a really valuable pick. But then if you actually, like, go back and look at the guys who get drafted in that range, like, there's probably close to a 50% bust rate. Like, just are dropped or are hurt or just aren't valuable. And so it's hard during draft season to think about it that way, because you have a reason why you draft every player and you like every exactly. player, and you can come up with the best case scenario. But the best case scenario usually doesn't happen. And so that's where I looked at all the leagues where I had Edward Cabrera, and I didn't drop him anywhere. I held on to him because I'm still fascinated by his talent level, and maybe that's me being too much of a Marlins fan. But like, if he was the only player I could drop in a league and Garrett Crochet was available, that'd be a really tough call. But I think I would have to drop Edward Cabrera, a pitcher who I think is super talented, for Garrett Crochet, just because Garrett Crochet is actually doing the thing that I hope Edward Cabrera can do.
Right.
That's a great point. And if you go to waiver wire, I'm going to run this by you guys, because Justin Steele got injured. He's going to be out. They did an MRI. I don't think the results are back yet, but we're talking like a 6-week type situation, like best case scenario. I was, if Crochet's, picked up and I can't get him, whatever, I kind of like Javier Assad for the Chicago Cubs. He's not sexy. He's not a strikeout guy, but last year he had 109 innings pitched with a 3.05 ERA. That's really good. He's 25. He's a solid pitcher on a good team. All right. The Cubs are going to win some games. Obviously, you can't replace Justin Steele. Well, Garrett Crochet might for a little while. But, if you're thinking, slow and steady wins the race, what do y'all think about Javier Assad for the Chicago Cubs? Mike V, what do you say?
It depends on team context, obviously, and who I'm if you're talking about just a swap, or you playing leagues where you can IL Justin Steele, which in worst case scenario, or even best case scenario, it looks like we're going to get that. It just really depends. It's a matter of how long is really the case here with Steele. But I like that. I mean, especially after what he produced last year. I think you can add him in deeper leagues. I would be interested to see who else is out there, obviously. But
oh, sure. It's all context. But
context, sure.
Yeah. But if he's out there and it's a deeper league, what do you say, Chris?
I think that's an interesting one, because you look at the Cubs and the defense should be really good around him. And so it's a situation where that's a necessity for a guy like Javier Assad, who's not going to get a ton of strikeouts. But, this is a team that got a bounce back season out of Kyle Hendricks last year, who is probably available in about as many leagues as Javier Assad. Kyle Hendricks, nobody had any interest in him this spring. And I feel like he's probably the guy who gets undrafted and then gets like 50% rostered by late April, just because everyone remembers, he doesn't have any upside, but when he pitches, he's really solid. But I think Assad could be that type. Obviously not the same caliber of command or control as Kyle Hendricks, but with that, I think the team context helps him out a lot, because the Cubs are a really good defensive team, and there are certain teams that have earned the benefit of the doubt, and there are certain teams that very much have not. And I think the Cubs have been able to squeeze enough out of guys like Justin Steele and Kyle Hendricks and other guys like that, I think making a low stakes bet on a guy like that can make some sense.
$1, but
yeah.
I did look at his next start. Javier Assad is scheduled tentatively to start lineup against Colorado. And as we saw, if you want to play somebody, you want to play the Colorado Rockies. Sorry, Colorado fans. It's looking like one of those years. Kyle Freeland, hey, man, it's just one of those things. What do you do? But I wanted to also ask you guys about Royce Lewis. No. He hits a home run, he steals a base, he does his taxes, he gets married, all in the same game, and then he gets hurt. It's just such a shame. But so, I don't know, Mike V, what do you think? Is it Willie Castro time?
I think so. I think a lot of people want Martin to come up and take that spot, but I think he's got back spasms, and they said he's at minimum 2 or 3 weeks away from even playing, so I don't think it's going to be him. I have one share of Royce Lewis. I actually made a trade for him, and I traded Logan Gilbert for him straight up because I needed a third baseman really, really bad. And at the same time, too, I'm still pumping the brakes here a tad bit until we get the MRI results. I mean, he did say at post game that it was a quad cramp and that a cramp that just wouldn't go away. I would be shocked if he doesn't hit the IL, regardless of how these results come back. I think they'll be safe with him given his track record of injuries. But, I'm hoping for the best.
Walking off the field. He looked like he was in a lot of pain. But
yeah.
But you're right. I'm glad you brought that up about Willie Castro. What about Brooks Lee, Chris? Do you have any interest in Brooks Lee?
That's the name I wanted to bring up, because all throughout camp, they didn't send him down, I think, until the final cuts at camp, even though it was pretty clear that there was just no spot for him, given how often they want a platoon. There was no way they could justify bringing him up. He wasn't going to play enough. But everything I read about Brooks Lee this spring from people covering the Twins was, this is a team with a lot of injury risk around the infield, and he has experience, obviously, as a shortstop, former first-round pick, has played shortstop his whole life, but started playing third base last year, played some second base this spring, and basically the consensus was that the first sign of a serious injury to one of those guys, it was going to be Brooks Lee's opportunity. Now, maybe it doesn't end up being the case that, you know, either Royce Lewis is going to miss time or they maybe don't want to start the clock that quickly, but they clearly like Royce Lewis or Brooks Lee. If they had a spot for him, I think there's a decent chance he would have been on the opening day roster. And, you know, if it does end up being, if it's a minimum IL stay thing for Royce Lewis, maybe they don't start the clock up. But Brooks Lee had a really good spring, hit .333 with a .963 OPS. He's gotten all the way to AAA. I could see it if it's a month for Lewis that they could start the clock on Brooks Lee.
When it comes to fantasy baseball, the Palazzo Podcast is the gold standard, even though I disagree with Britton Allen when it comes to Britton's taste about Wes Anderson. Everyone knows Royal Tenenbaum's outshines Rushmore. Britton Allen should stick to fantasy baseball. I know the Palazzo Podcast Giftmaster himself, Russell Withers, would agree with me here, even though I disagree with Britton Allen. Britton Allen can sail with me anytime. Utah, give me two!
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation,
which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Brooks Lee is a very highly touted Minnesota Twins prospect. Looks like Edward Julian didn't play. Thought that, you know, but that's based on lefty righty splits. Mm-hmm. But if Royce Lewis is gone, you know, and it looked like he will be at least, you know, for at least one IL stint. Maybe it's minimum time, maybe not. But hey, let's be honest. Even if it is a minimum time, his history is he's going to be on it again. So go ahead, get Brooks Lee and stash him on your bench because he's a legitimate star. But hey, before we keep going, did either of y'all catch the Dodgers-Cardinals game yesterday by any chance?
I did not.
Yeah.
I watched it because I had a parlay with the O's. Thank you, Mike V. And the Dodgers.
Glad I can help you out with that.
On the money line. You've got me all O's excited. I can feel the excitement. I love all those hitters too. But so I'm watching the game. And this is Cardinals are at Dodgers, Dodgers home opener. Obviously, they played in Korea, but this is their, you know, home opening day. And so I'm watching the game, and I have a theory, and it's about Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux sucks, okay? I think watching him play, and because I had money on it, I was invested in it, and there was a runner on first, and he came up to bat, and I'm not Nostradamus. I never claim to be. I don't have the shining or any type of gift. But I looked at him and I said, he's going to hit into a double play. An inning-ending double play. I can just tell. And that's exactly what he did. And then he struck out another time, and then he grounded out another time. I'm like, all this guy does is make outs. He literally makes outs. That's all he does for the Dodgers. And I'm trying to think, like, did he make a deal with the devil or something? Like, why is he on this roster? They made Mookie Betts go from his natural position to shortstop because he sucked so bad. So let me get this straight. You can't field. You can't hit. You're kind of a jerk with a bad attitude. And so I was looking into him, and I found out in 2019 he was like the minor league player of the mm-hmm. year and
yeah,
all the
he
minor
was incredible
leagues.
Yeah,
he was incredible. That was 2019, 5 years ago, or maybe a little under 5 years ago. Okay, all right. So he's got that in his bread basket. I get it, but other than that, I couldn't find anything. Then it dawned on me, gentlemen, I figured it out. I solved the Gavin Lux the conspiracy theory. I see it. Gavin Lux works for the Atlanta Braves. Now, I know technically he's on the Dodgers. He wears their uniform, but much like Tony Almeida in 24, you can't trust him. He is clearly working for the Braves. He has been implanted into the Dodgers organization where for whatever reason they can't get him out. And now
it's a publicly traded company. You know, maybe he's got some shares in Atlanta Braves LLC or whatever.
He's going to the varsity on the weekends in Atlanta, Georgia.
When he was the big prospect, I remember it was like, this is a can't miss guy. The hit tool is so good. And then I remember like diving into his numbers, even in that very good season, he was good against lefties that year, but it was a very small sample size, as you know, left-handed splits tend to be, especially in the minors. And it was the only time he had been able to hit lefties. And so that was one where I was like, all right, well, let's pump the brakes. It's a pretty big hole in his game potentially that he may not be able to overcome. And like, I had him as a sleeper this year, just on the, hey, it's free. Why not see if, you know, this post type guy who did work out with Mookie Betts at Driveline Baseball last spring and reportedly added a bunch of speed to his bat speed before the ACL injury. So, you know, he was athlete.
Did I crap all over one of your preseason sleeper picks?
Well, Chris? No, but I ended up not really drafting him all that often just because I got to the point where I was just like, but what's the upside? Is he a platoon bat? I do think the fact that they moved Mookie Betts, I know a lot of people viewed that as a negative for Gavin Lux, but you could also view it as, well, they want to keep his bat in the lineup, but he's not playable at shortstop. They're trying, but I don't know. I've never been a huge believer in him. And so him as a sleeper wasn't necessarily like a, here's X, Y, Z about his, like, I looked at Tyler O'Neill. He was also a sleeper for me. And I looked at it and said, well, he hits the ball hard and he's an athlete. And Fenway Park is just a much, much better place for right-handed hitters to hit than Busch Stadium is. And so that I had concrete reasons to say Tyler O'Neill is a sleeper for me. Gavin Lux was purely he was once a top prospect and maybe he can figure it out kind of bet. And so that's one where I will hold on to Tyler O'Neill through a slow start if I have to, if I can, I guess. Gavin Lux, where I have him, it'll be pretty easy to move on if he does not get off to a good start. And so far, it's been not so great.
Mike V, what do you think? Is my conspiracy Atlanta Braves theory hold any water, or do you think Gavin Lux is going to turn it around?
It's a solid theory for sure.
It makes sense, right?
I think Chris hit it on the head. I had one or two shares of him simply for that exact reason. He was free. I think he was going after pick 300, and just basically off of the prospect pedigree that he had going into his career with the Dodgers, and obviously the injury that went from last year. You know, I think that's. You weren't drafting him to be your MI, your second baseman, your shortstop, whatever it may be. He was a Hail Mary, a lottery ticket, if you will. I don't think I'm ready to give up on him after one game, especially in deeper formats. But like we talked about, if Garrett Crochet is available, I'm dropping Gavin Lux like a bad habit. So, but at the same time, too, if there's, you know, if you play in a deeper league, you know, 16 team formats, whatever, or plus, I would probably still hold on to him and hopefully that he can turn it around and, give solid production. I don't think he's going to be a middle of the order type bat or a 1-2 guy, but you know, that the only reason I'd be looking to hang on to him is because of the lineup that he plays in. So, but yeah, that's my take on him.
And the tough thing is there's a little bit to a lesser degree of like what happened with Michael Harris last year, where he's a rare player where playing in a great lineup actually held him back for fantasy because Michael Harris batted eighth and ninth so often last year. Gavin Lux, obviously it's a great lineup. They're going to get a ton of plate appearances anyway, but because he's so low in the lineup, one, he's far away from the Ohtani, Betts, Freeman core to really benefit from it. And two, he's so far down the lineup that the volume is still going to be a problem for Gavin Lux unless he hits. And then it kind of probably solves itself and he gets moved up. But yeah, that's one of the tough things about it. Is he doesn't really benefit as much from the lineup because of how far down he's likely to hit in it moving forward.
Yeah. And I want to go on record saying real quick, Gavin Lux was actually ADP 285 across major platforms, but he was actually drafted at 322 in CBS. So like I said, he's basically free. I think he's somebody, again, after one game, I'd be looking to maybe hold at least for another couple games here to see where he's at. But valid point there, Chris. You know, he's going to be looking at driving who, like Teoscar Hernandez and Jason Hayward.
Yeah, so. I mean, and yesterday what you saw was he got three at-bats. They had a lead late. They replaced him with Miguel Rojas, who moved over to shortstop. Gavin Lux only got three plate appearances yesterday.
Yep.
In a game where his team scored seven runs. So that's also an issue, is one, they're gonna remove him for defensive place replacements pretty regularly, to the point where Lux, you know, might only get three plate appearances most games.
Because the Dodgers are going to be winning games.
Yeah. So, and then when they're at home, you know, he's so far down the lineup, there's going to be a lot of times when they just don't hit in the ninth inning. So that's going to remove another opportunity for him potentially. So it's just, it's going to be hard for Gavin Lux to get a fifth plate appearance ever. And it's going to be hard to get four in a lot of
games. I was going to say.
Yeah, and plate appearances are where you make your fantasy money. The team that wins the main event or the NFBC, you know, you look down and they, you know, nine times out of ten, their batters have the most plate appearances than the team that finishes in second. That's just how, you know, it's numbers, it's Excel sheets and things I don't really understand. All I know is Lux rhymes with sucks. So you don't need any math to do that one. But enough with Gavin Lux. I'm sorry, Gavin. I'm sure you're a nice guy. Actually, you're not. You're not a nice guy. But I do wish you the best anyway. Good luck with the Dodgers. Mike V, so we were talking about the Orioles earlier, and it looks like they're going to be in hot contention of the American League East. Did you see anything the other day with Boston, or did you watch the Rays, or I guess we can talk about the Yankees? My one of my favorite guys is Nestor Cortez. So what about, did you look into your division and see anything that caught your eye?
I think it's going to be competitive. I mean, it's a boring answer and very vanilla, but at the same time too, all these teams, I think, you know, between Tampa is obviously going to be there at the end. I think it's a popular pick for a lot of people to win that division. But the Yankees got out of it. I mean, they were down in a deep hole before they came back and won. And I don't know if you guys saw that Juan Soto throw from right field to get out a Dubon, who looked like he was a man with running in. It looked like he was running in with a piano on his back. I mean, it was unreal watching that. Because I have Kyle Tucker, Britton, and I was hoping. But
love me some Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think all of those teams are going to be super, super competitive. I think the NL West is probably going to be the most competitive division in baseball, and the AL East is not too far behind. But I was actually kind of impressed with Boston yesterday. I don't know if you guys got a glimpse of that.
I went to Seattle. Yeah.
Brian Bello looked good. Kenley Jansen looked great. Mm-hmm. Sadon Rafaela had a good game. Chris, any thoughts? Anybody from the AL East that stood out after the Orioles?
I mean, the Rays are just going to min-max their way to 90-plus wins because that's what they do. Yeah. And then whether it's going to work in the playoffs, I think you reach a point of diminishing returns when you treat every regular season game like a playoff game and you don't have an extra gear, which I think has been the Rays' problem. But that's how they're going to do it in the regular season. I think they're going to get every edge possible. The Red Sox, like, I think it's mostly a question. Like, I like their rotation. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be pretty good. I think it's just a question of, can it be the 15th best rotation in baseball, or can it push into like the top five? I think the former is much more likely. Because I think Bayo and Cutter Crawford and all those guys are probably all pretty good, but I don't know where the next level is for any of the Red Sox pitchers. And partially that's just, I've been down the Nick Pivetta path before, and I know there's going to be a ton of strikeouts, and there are going to be stretches where he looks dominant, and then you're going to get to the end of the season, and that ERA is going to start with a four. That's just what happens with Nick Pivetta. And I, until I see different, I can't buy in. I know a lot of smart people really like him, and maybe it'll finally happen, but a lot of smart people have really liked Nick Pivetta before, and it's let them down. So I think that's going to come down to, like, they have a lot of guys. I think the Red Sox are deep in pretty good players. But outside of Rafael Devers, I don't know if they have any superstars. Maybe Tristan Casas can turn into that. Maybe Jaron Duran can turn into that. Maybe Sadon Rafaela is so good defensively that he becomes that, and he can, you know, squeeze together I think a 15 homer, 25 to 30 stolen base season is realistic, but
yeah,
I think the plate discipline could really hold him back as well, and it's a very high variance profile. So
yeah.
I like the Red Sox, but I think they're probably another difference maker away from really competing in a division that is going to take 90 plus. You're not going to win the AL East with 89 games. That's not going to happen. And so I think that's probably that they're just a little bit outclassed in their division.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask y'all a quick question? I know we're probably coming up on an hour here, but Mike V, I wanted to get your thoughts. When I was drafting preseason, one of my little theories that I used was fading hitters on teams that lost the World Series. So I was fading Arizona Diamondback hitters. Was that a good idea?
Well, if you remember too, I know we had a side conversation in the chat. I actually took Kyle Tucker over Corbin Carroll, and Corbin Carroll wasn't even part of that mix yesterday. And you know, obviously between Ketel Marte and
Gurriel, give me Gurriel.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the Rockies here, so, and Kyle Freeland. So if I remember correctly from this morning's show when I was watching, Chris, I believe Scott started him in the NL only league.
Yeah, and NL only Tout Wars, I think,
that's right.
or yeah. Labor, oh. One of those two. So yeah, that's a tough break.
Yeah. But yeah, Arizona looks good, man. And from top to bottom, hitting wise. I still one game. I don't want to overreact too much, but you know, Corbin Carroll wasn't even part of the mix yesterday, and they still scored 16 runs. Chris, thoughts on that game yesterday?
Yeah, Chris, fact or fluke? I think that's what popular websites say. Was that fluky? What was it, 14 runs in one inning? Man, can you imagine being the Rockies? Like, you go to your hotel and you're like, I have to go back there tomorrow.
One of the last things I wrote before the season started, I did like a biggest questions for every team, or no, it was a something to watch for every team early in the season, just like a quick viewing guide. Like, hey, if you're watching the Phillies, you know, what does does Trey Turner get off to a hot start after being so bad? Like, stuff like that. Honest to God, I had nothing for the Rockies. Like, just like, Nolan can Ezekiel, Jones? Yeah, can Ezekiel, like, yeah, Nolan Jones is good. And then it's like, can they give us someone else to get excited about? And, nope. I mean, the thing for the Diamondbacks is they only get to play the Rockies like 11 or 12 more times, you know? So they're not going to get to do that many more times. I'm a little, I do have a little bit of a concern about Corbin Carroll. The power was not there when he came back from the shoulder injuries last year.
So I stood away from him.
Yeah, it's something like 10 homers in his last 350 or 400 plate appearances or something. It's like a pretty bad number for a guy who is a first round pick, even though he'll, you know, steal a bunch of bases and score a bunch of runs, and I think be really good as long as he stays healthy. But I'm a little concerned there. I did pick them to make the playoffs in our season preview, so I guess I'm not too concerned. I liked the Jordan Montgomery signing, but you know, Gallen's velocity was down yesterday. He's talked about having to manage his workload coming off the 243 innings that he threw last season. So that's a little concerning.
Yikes.
I could see a little bit of a hangover for the Diamondbacks, although obviously, actually, you know what? It's kind of like my hangovers now that I'm in my mid 30s. I usually wake up and I feel okay. And I'm always surprised. I'm always like, I feel great. And then I eat lunch and I just fall off a cliff. That's how my hangovers go right now. I feel great when I wake up, and as soon as I put water or food in my body, I just collapse. And maybe that's what'll happen to the Diamondbacks.
Love it. Let's ask one quick question. I know we'll wrap up here in a second, mm-hmm. but in the group chat, Mike V, What bid would you put on Victor Scott if your fab bid was $1,000?
Don't ask me because I'm sure this is the most a very unpopular take. I'm not spending a lot of money on Victor Scott here, guys. And I mentioned this earlier, and the reason why is because everyone loves the speed. I get it. Mm-hmm. And it makes complete sense. 94 stolen bases. Who the hell wouldn't be excited about it? I think he's a better version of Esty Ruiz. My concerns are, he's never played a game above AAA.
Above what happens?
AA, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah. Never played in AAA. Never played a game above AA is what I meant to say. But what happens when these guys get healthy between Nootbaar, Carlson? Carlson's only supposed to be missing a matter of weeks, not months. Mm-hmm. And I hope this is what's going to have to happen for Victor Scott to stay up. He's going to have to hit the ground running. I think Jeff Erickson mentioned that in our, no pun intended, Jeff Erickson mentioned that in our Bozo Fest that we did on Wednesday. In order for him to stay up, right? Like, mm-hmm. what happens after the month? Are they going to send him back down to get more seasoning? And he's hitting the lower third of the lineup. There's just a lot working against him, and I think somebody else is going to spend a lot of money. I just won't be that guy.
But I was that guy in Tout Wars, in the 15-team OBP Tout Wars, and I already lost Josh Lowe, so I knew I needed an outfielder to put in the starting lineup. That's one of those leagues where you have to start guys. If you pick them up, you don't get to like add them and see what happens. So Victor Scott is in my starting lineup. I got a stolen base yesterday, so that was nice.
That's good.
How much you pay?
247 out of 1,000.
Wow.
And that was one of the ones that I didn't blow out everyone else. I think the second highest bid was like 220. So I feel like I didn't waste my money. I think the Victor Scott thing, it's pretty straightforward. He is an incredibly high variance pick. You know, if you drafted him late, which I did in a couple leagues, it's a high variance play. I think the likeliest outcome is he's not on the roster by the end of April. But if he is on the roster by the end of April, he's probably a top 100 player in fantasy, right? Like if he's on the roster because he's getting on base and he's bunting for hits all the time and he's stealing a ton of bases, and he's what I like about him is the playing time risk is mitigated by the fact that he is a potential gold glove level defender
in
the field. And that is, I know Tommy Edman's pretty good. I'm kind of worried we're just not going to see Tommy Edman this season, the way that wrist injury's gone.
It's not getting better. And in the offseason, it didn't get better.
He had surgery in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was expected to be Tommy perfectly fine by February. And it never happened. So I worry that there's going to be another procedure possibly to check out what's going on. And so I do think there's a chance Victor Scott takes this and is just so valuable as an all around player that he forces the Cardinals' hand in a way that Esteri Ruiz just can't, because he's never been that kind of defender. He's probably, I think, a worse hitter, maybe in the long run, than Victor Scott. Maybe right now they're pretty close, but the quality of contact data that I've seen so far suggests that Victor Scott impacts the ball harder, more consistently than Esteri Ruiz. So I'm hopeful that he's a better hitter, better contact skills, but just the fact that he is probably the best defensive outfielder in the organization gives him a chance to run away with the job. And I know the Cardinals have too many guys, and it took three injuries for him to even get a chance on the opening day roster.
Yep.
But I do think it's one of those ones where if he sticks, he's really, really good. And if not, then whatever. A lot of the guys that you spend $250 in fab on are going to flop. You know, like we talked about with Garrett Crochet, there's a decent chance it doesn't work out when you make those gigantic bids on him this weekend. You have to go into it being aware of that. And as long as you are, like, that, there's upside to be found.
Oh, totally agree. And, worst case scenario, he goes down, you know, people get better, like Lars comes back and he goes down, but they'll send him down to AAA, which is in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And the AAA Redbirds is right next door to the Rendezvous. So he can just, you know, go get him some delicious ribs, Memphis style, no sauce, Memphis style ribs. and Victor Scott for the Cardinals will have a pretty good day no matter what happens. But I wanted to ask one final question to our guest host, Chris Towers. Thank you so much for being here. But I do have to ask you, like, this is probably the most important question.
Okay.
I hope you're ready.
All right.
Are you familiar with a movie called The Royal Tenenbaums?
Absolutely, yeah. I've seen that movie many times.
Are you familiar with the movie called Rushmore?
Sure, yeah.
Also directed by the very talented Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
Now, having seen these two movies, do you have an opinion on which movie is, shall we say, 1,000 times better than the other one?
I prefer Royal Tenenbaums.
Let's go.
That's the basic take. That's the one that everybody has. But I understand. I like Wes Anderson a lot. I know for some people you're not allowed to say that because he's, I don't know, twee and earnest, and it's not cool to, I guess, have an established visual style and stick to it. But I think he's great. I'm in New York City. I'm in Brooklyn, and I love going to Forest Hills Stadium, which is if you ever get a chance, the coolest music venue in New York City. It's the old U.S. Open tennis stadium. And they have a plaque there dedicated to when Richie Tenenbaum had his meltdown during the tennis tournament. So that's always fun. And great movie.
I'm speechless. So I'm speechless.
Honestly, not my favorite Wes Anderson movie, though.
I
think Fantastic Mr. Fox is his best movie. I love that one.
Yeah,
that is great. That doesn't get brought up very much when you talk Wes Anderson movies. You know, he's made so many good movies. It's just funny that
they're all good.
Yeah, they're all pretty good except Royal Tenenbaums. That's not good, but.
One more question for you guys real quick before we head off. And I want to do a speed round here. Okay. The guys that we've mentioned thus far, just in a vacuum. Well, we all know team context is important. What you need, what guys are hurt, et cetera, et cetera. But give me rank these guys for heading into waiver wire Sunday/Monday here in terms of the waiver wire ads between Garrett Crochet, Victor Scott, Jason Foley. Go.
I think I would go Scott, Crochet, Foley. But obviously team context is highly dependent, and there's a chance Foley has the least impact but might have the highest potential of making an impact on your roster. So I think all three of them probably should be rostered in every categories. Like, obviously head-to-head points, Foley and Scott in particular have a lot less value just because closers aren't that valuable. Guys who steal a bunch of bases but aren't necessarily great hitters are much less valuable. Points league, especially on CBS, that's where Garrett Crochet might be by far and away the top target because he's a relief pitcher. And you can using a starting pitcher in a relief spot is potentially a cheat code if he's as good as he looked in that first start.
There you go.
Yeah, Britton, I think Garrett Crochet has got to be the number one. You're just not going to find an 8K, six inning, zero walk pitcher on the waiver wire. You're just not. And your pitchers are going to get injured during the year. Mm-hmm. About 50% of them, if you look at the odds. So go get Crochet. Yes, he's healthy now, won't be healthy later. But guess what? That's 50% of the people that are currently on your roster that are healthy now. They're not going to be healthy later. So you got to go grab him because, I mean, even if you got like four or five more starts like this, that's a win. Yeah, you can't get stuff like that off the waiver wire.
As long as when things turn, you don't keep him in your lineup. If things turn, you know, like that's, you know, like Crochet a Graham caveat. Ashcraft last year got off to a decent start and then just completely fell apart. That's what you have to be. Or Andrew Abbott might be an even better example of that.
Oh yeah.
So you gotta be careful that you don't stick with that guy when things turn, if they do.
Yeah.
That's the thing of life, man. You got to buy that stock on the rise, and then you know,
sell.
Yeah. And then when GameStop, you know, figures out what's going on, you want to be on the up, not the down part. But hey, Mike V, do you have anything else you want to get into?
Yeah, I just want to go on record for you, Britton. Are you're in agreement with Chris in terms of the Garrett Crochet, Victor Scott number two, and Jason Foley number three?
I'm actually Foley number two. I watched him.
Yeah.
He's filthy, and he
was nuts. Yeah,
he was good last year. Mm-hmm. And Alex Lang was good sometimes when the ball was somewhere near the plate. Sometimes it wasn't very near the plate. So I think Foley's going to be the closer from here on out. I think the Tigers are a team on the up, and so I think they're going to win games. It's going to be close because of the offense. Plus, I like the pitcher's park in Detroit. So and the things that we already talked about, Scott, with playing time and that's going to be an issue. So yeah, I like Crochet number one, Jason Foley for the Tigers number two, and then Victor Scott just because. He's so talented, but playing time concerns, I'd put him number three.
Yeah, and I'll go on record and I'm going to rank him that way as well as Britton. But at the same time, too, if you get any three of these guys, you're feeling pretty good. So I know we're coming up a little bit over an hour. If you guys are watching us in the live stream here, make sure you like and subscribe to the Palazzo Podcast YouTube channel. I'm on Twitter/X_MikeVA. Britton Allen, 2 T's, 2 L's. And then Chris is at C Tower CBS. Make sure you give him a follow and all of the guys over at the CBS Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Chris, anything from you, anything that you want to shout out before we head off for the weekend?
I'm just happy baseball's back. I'm having so much fun right now.
Chris, is it refreshing to be on a real professional baseball podcast?
Finally, you know, it's about time.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever said. Thank you very much, Chris. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's been great.
And I don't know if you've seen the show before, but we always end the show with the master and commander himself, Mr. Captain Jack Aubrey.
Lucky Jack.
For those of you guys watching, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. Enjoy baseball season. It's finally here. Enjoy it. Hit us up if you have questions, and we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you, and I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun, quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.